Get ready for a brawl that's more than just ice and sticks. USA versus Canada just happened, and it turned hockey into a full-on sovereignty slugfest. Trump's 51st state taunt lit the fuse. Trudeau clapped back, and the four nations face-off became a geopolitical grudge match with anthem boos, overtime heartbreak, and record ratings. Was this a fluke? Or did politics just resurrect hockey's pulse in America? I, William Del Pilar, break it down next. Okay, everyone, we've got a killer show. This is Points on the Board, where politics and sports collide. All right, we have the Four Nations face-off and its big takeaways, the outrage of Griner walking free while Fogel rotted in Russia. I want to revisit that, as I have not had a chance to give a Latino's take on it. And in our newest segment, the final sprint, Cricket Wars, unrivaled flops, but surprises at the end, NFL meltdowns, and a stage fight sunk by a parole officer and a judge. Before I forget, you can find us at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the profile handle Grumblings Media. Mi amigos, let us roll. And let's get down right to it. Slapshots and sovereignty. USA versus Canada's icy political brawl. Hockey's never been just a game between the U.S. and Canada. It's a border war on ice. And last week, it got personal. When Trump slapped Canada with the 51st state taunt and Trudeau into a punching bag, the Four Nations face-off became more than a tournament. It was a slap shot at pride, a sovereignty showdown, and a middle finger to anyone who thought this was just about pots. So, this happened last week. The stage was set with the Four Nations face-off right around February 13th, 14th is when this began. It's a mid-season NHL showdown. And what it does, it pits the best from the U.S., Canada, Finland, and Sweden. Again, it kicked off February 13th. There was a split between Montreal and Boston in terms of where it was played. And this round-robin clash, is what many called it, was billed as a 2026 Olympics appetizer. Now, I must say, this was shades of the 1980 Lake Placid in terms of the eventual outcome and what the buildup was. And I only say that in terms of comparing it to hockey, in terms of what it did. But it was more than just hockey. It was that 51st state jab that created the buildup. It had Canada snarling, kind of like little cats. It turned a puck battle into a geopolitical grudge match on ice. So why is there so much hate? Well, there's venom ignited again with Trump's words. Fresh off his inauguration, he dubbed Canada as our next state. And then he needled Trudeau over trade and tariffs. And he won that battle. Canada has capitulated, is giving us what we want, which is just fair trade. And to keep drugs out of our border. Man, there's a chart out there you got to find that just shows how lopsided. And my good friend and partner, Big John, he's okay with it. I said, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. It's not free trade when one side taxes the hell out of your products and you don't tax theirs. So my belief is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that's what Trump's doing here. So Trump was, in essence, pouring kerosene on a hockey rivalry that was already simmering with border pride. And then the inevitable happened. Hockey is a sport of fisticuffs. It was 9 seconds of chaos. And this was in Montreal. It was pure pandemonium. Three fights broke out in 9 seconds. I'm sure you all are aware of that. And that was obviously in the USA-Canada round-robin clash. Why? Well, the fans booed the Star-Spangled Banner like it was a war cry. And the U.S. answered with a 3-1 upset, But what was much better was the beatdown they gave those Canadian morons, losers, idiots. And that's right, I'm saying it, people. Screw Justin Trudeau. Screw Canada. Not the people. I align with the people who have been abused as we conservatives have here in America, who have been canceled, who have had the government go after them. For those individuals, my heart bleeds for you. But for the rest of y'all, screw ya. You deserve the beating you took with the, and I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about the fisticuffs. Bam, 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 bam. It was reminiscent of Del Pilar in the drunken stupor in his sailor days. I remember one time I was walking. Next thing you know, I'm rolling on the ground. Some guy mistook me for somebody else. I was sober. He wasn't. Game over. And I'm a lover, not a fighter. But my point is sometimes you just got to give him the beatdown. You know, so this violence wasn't just hockey sold. So it was a middle finger to Canada's smug supremacy. And it was fueled by Trump's taunts, obviously. Social media lit up. American fans cheering the grit. And Canadians, we shall have our revenge. Fidel Castro's son shall defend us. If y'all have never seen a picture of Trudeau and Castro throughout the years, the rumor is that his parents were swingers. They were down in Cuba, and Fidel took a liking to Mrs. Trudeau. And then when you look at the picture, and I'm not kidding here. This is, I'm not making things up. And when you look at pictures of Trudeau, you're like, damn, that's his kid. I believe it. I believe those stories. Why? Because you look at the pictures. Trudeau is a smacking image of Castro. Anyway, this was pure America. Patriotism. And that's what I meant by comparing to the 1980 Lake Placid, which I saw live. Don't you dare mock our flag because you're mocking America. That's what it boiled down to. America responded. And our team gave retribution with a beatdown of Canada's best players. But in essence, this was Trump versus Trudeau. Trump called the Team USA right before the February 20th final in Boston, pumping them up. Beat those mother bleepers. He didn't say that I did. He said, beat those hosers. That's what he said. Trudeau fired back on X. I'm a feminist. You can't take our country and you can't take our game. I'm Trudeau. I am Castro with a feminist version. Yeah, I don't like Trudeau. He's a cuck, as cuckish as they come. And so he says you can't take our game. Yet in the NHL, there are 32 teams with only 7 being Canadian. And Canada, like the U.S., now imports its players as much as any American team. Thus, our game statement isn't quite true, is it, Blackface Trudeau? So this wasn't just captains chirping on each other's team. It was world leaders turning players into proxy warriors, and fans ate it up. Anthem boos, echoing both ways. You know, my take is simple. We're going to crush them on the terrace, and we crush them in real life. But there was overtime heartbreak here, my friends. But the real winner in all this wasn't Canada. It was the NHL. The Boston final was a 3-2 overtime thriller. Our boys gave it all they had against a superior force in terms of talent and technical play. Canada's Connor McPunk David sniped the winner, sealing the win. Yeah, Connor McDavid is his name. So anyway, the real stat, 9.3 million viewers tuned in. ESPN's biggest hockey telecast ever. It smoked the Masters Sunday numbers, but the Masters. Golf is really overrated in the ratings, but it's a very high demographic in terms of what they'll pay for all the gear, so it gets primo advertising. You know, so Trump's trash talk, Trudeau's cat clapbacks, anthem wars, it turned this niche sport, number 4 on the totem pole in terms of popularity here in America, into a continental cage match. It wasn't finesse driving those eyeballs. It was raw us versus them juice. The last time the U.S. beat Canada in a best-on-best finals was in 1996. So this loss stung, but it didn't fracture because something clicked. 9.3 million Americans didn't care about activist jerseys, WNBA and NBA, or loudmouth egos, NFL. They cared about the sweater, the USA gear. So, was this political spice? just a viewership fluke? Or did the NHL stumble into a formula to make hockey a U.S. force again? I think they stumbled onto the formula. Patriotism bleed red, white, and blue. So despite the defeat, the U.S. found something rare. Unity. Not seen for, gosh, over 30 years. This wasn't about bigots or woke agendas, pushing a narrative of hate, tribalism, divisive, or division rather, with one American towards another. It was 9.3 million people rallying behind the stars and stripes, pure and simple. Trump's geopolitical jab made it an us versus them, and for once, the flag flew without baggage. This was just a belief that we are Americans. Canada took the trophy, but the U.S. found its love for country, that we're still in this together. Let me know if you disagree or agree in the comments. But let's move on. I want to talk about this next topic that I have titled, Revisiting Fogel's Freedom. Trump's rescue proves he fights for every American, not just the politically aligned. So I want to talk about this as it deals with the Brittany Griner and Mark Fogel and the disgust as a Latino who has white, black, and Asian relatives and cousins. I find this turn into tribalism that I first experienced in the late 80s disgusting and vile. It's really blown up now. It breeds hate. And I always tell people, be careful about waking the bear. Thomas Sowell talks about this. Hate begets hate. And this is nothing but bad ending written all over it for everyone. But there are people like Trump who are bringing people together. Despite what the mainstream media says, what they're trying to do to divide us, Trump is getting more and more minority support as each day goes forward. Doge is exposing garbage. So I wanted to take the time to revisit this because Mark Fogel was just freed last month. So we're going to revisit A Tale of Two Americans caught in Russia's grip. One, a black lesbian celebrity freed by Biden in a killer's trade. The other, a white teacher, left to die for his skin color while she lived for her political beliefs. That is, until Trump stepped in. They were both arrested for similar crimes, but obviously with different outcomes. Social justice overdoing what is right. It's a story of political hypocrisy, where identity trumps justice, and a notorious arms dealer walks free while an innocent man suffered until a leader who fights for all Americans took charge. That's what the mainstream media doesn't want you to believe, but that is the fact. So grab your passports and get ready to travel along this tale as I unpack how Mark Fogel's freedom exposes Biden and specifically the Democrats' excuses and the dangerous fallout of putting politics over people. That's what the media is not going to talk to you about, the fallout. Victor Bout. So Fogel's ordeal versus Griner swap and Trump's triumph. So Mark Fogel is a white male teacher from Oakmont. He was arrested in Moscow in 2021 for 17 grams, about 0.6 ounces, of medically prescribed marijuana for chronic pain. And he's languished in a Russian penal colony for over 985 days by May of 2024 under Biden's watch. So almost a year. We're talking over 1,200 days here total. Then there was Brittany Griner, a black lesbian WNBA star and hardcore leftist. She's so hardcore leftist, she wouldn't know what right is if she turned right. She was arrested in February 2022 for knowingly bringing in cannabis oil that is not medically prescribed. She knew the law. She'd be going in there, and she purposely brought an illegal drug. And the difference between her and Fogel is medical. They're both wrong. Do not get me wrong. But at the end of the day, hers was no basis. She may have said this or that, but there was no prescription. She was freed after 293 days, and they swapped her with an arms dealer, Victor Bout, who had been known to have had evidence that he's indirectly killed Americans with the arms he had sold. Trump, in January 2025, secured Fogel's release, and he proved he fights for all Americans, not just those who fit a political mold. after Biden left him behind. Griner's celebrity, her alignment with the Democratic priorities, her race, sexuality, and progressive ties, that's what earned her a wrongfully detained label and very swift action. And don't get me wrong, every American has to be free, regardless of your race, creed, whatever. My issue is how they purposely left this one guy behind who'd been there two times as long because of the politics of Griner and what she represented in this tribalistic war. Fogle, the white man, was dismissed by leftist politics as unworthy. They saw no such effort. Despite bipartisan pleas, there were people on both sides, Democrat and Republican. You got to save this guy. Biden traded a killer for a political ally who flouted Russian law while they sidelined Fogle as collateral damage. And this was nothing but a game of politics. And the optics didn't look good, but they didn't care because they had the media on their side to deflect, and deflect they did. Not many people knew of Fogle. Why? They never mentioned him. So whoever was running Biden's regime, because he wasn't, we know that, we strongly suspect it was Dr. Jill Biden, the greatest doctor since Dr. Pepper. Maybe some of the minions from the Democrat Party, Obama's minions, some of Biden's old crony minions that still love the power, as well as just minions that are integrated and part of the party, regardless of who is in power, politically speaking. I mean, they validated my belief of they don't care about Americans. They only care about their ideology by revealing this bias against white men labeled as supremacists in Democratic rhetoric. So in other words, every white man is a supremacist. They were appeasing their base, which has gone from the blue dog, blue collar Democrat who wants the same thing as we conservatives, just a greater America, opportunities for everybody, to wanting to genocide the white race over all minorities. And that's what it boils down to. Why am I disgusted? Because I'm Latino. I have black relatives, white relatives, everything in between. And we can't do this because all it does is push and promote hate. And the reason I'm talking about this and the points on the board is Griner is a WNBA star. Now, Biden's team said, oh, well they said Griner or no one. No one believes that. No one believes that for a minute, Griner or no one. Trump came in 2025, and sure enough, he exposed this as a feeble excuse. Why? Russia fears Trump. They may try to shake this any other way, but they view Trump as unpredictable. He supported the Ukraine war when it first started, briefly, in terms of supporting Zelensky against Russia. But then he saw the money, he saw the dollars, he saw the politics, and quickly turned. He saw the truth. But Russia doesn't want to mess with Trump. No country wants to mess with Trump. That's why we were never attacked when Trump was in power. Like Reagan, Trump would have responded with not equal force, but force that would have made a big hole so big they would never have climbed at him. He ensured Fogle's relief. So while Griner thrived post-release, Fogle's health crumbled until Trump stepped in. Trump showed equal justice where Biden played favorites. He left the teacher to rot while freeing a star who knowingly broke the law. Again, Biden says, well, we couldn't help but abandon Fogle and then Paul Whelan, another white former Marine, with the excuse that Moscow wouldn't budge. They saw Biden for what he was, weak. Weak as weak can be. And then the fact that Biden, not only was it a weak trade, he gave up Victor Bout, a known killer. So Griner breaks the law knowingly, purposely, and is spun as a wrongful detention. Nothing like that with Fogle. Fogle had a medical necessity, and he was ignored and dismissed. Now, that said, I think they were both wrong. You respect the laws of that country. You don't take your medical cannabis in. Period. End of story. So Fogle's arrest was just two. But when you look at it in context, when you dig down, as you're supposed to do, that's what trials are for. When somebody's convicted or accused of something, you dig down for the truth. When you dig down into the truth here, you see the truth of what really went down. This case clearly showed Democrats valued identity over equality. And they let the white man like Fogle to rot. And they viewed him as expendable in their worldview. Again, as a Latino who runs the gamut from white to black, rich to poor, straight to gay, this is a betrayal of a fellow American. And that's what is unforgivable. You know, I served overseas. I also had traveled. And when I was a child, I used to always think we're not going to leave anybody behind. Now I know they do. And you better look at all the check marks and see where you stand on that totem pole. I found this a betrayal of America's value to never leave anyone behind. Purposely abandoning Fogle for his color, gender, and culture. That's sick. And that shows nothing but a whole political party filled with ideological hate. They are actually projecting who and what they are versus what they accuse others are. They're the ones separating us by color, by culture, and then saying we're the racist. No. My aunt, my uncle, they're all brown skin. My aunt, Afro-Caribbean, is what, when you saw her, that's what you saw. My Puerto Rican side, very Spaniard, as you can tell. I got my daddy's jeans there, my dad pops jeans. But see, I know we're all the same blood. So the skin tone to me does not matter. But it matters to those who want to separate us, who want to create division and hate. What the Democrats did is they came to the racism America fought to eradicate against blacks since the Civil War gave them their freedom, or rather towards blacks since the Civil War gave them their freedom. And the arms dealer? Well, Victor Bouts returned to arms dealing after prisoner swap. Freed by Biden and secure Brock Griner, Victor Bouts resumed arms dealing by August of 2024. In fact, he negotiated a $10 million weapons deal with the Houthi rebels. If y'all remember, there was this this part near Yemen in the Middle East that got blown up by Israel, and all the oil was on fire. Those were the Houthis. They've been a thorn in everybody's side. That weapons deal proved myself and every critic right, that releasing the merchant of death, as he's called, endangered global security. All for a celebrity who broke Russia's laws knowingly. Now, the Biden administration obviously played down Bouts' threat in 2022. Oh, no, there's nothing to say here, nothing to worry about. Thank goodness Trump was able to clean up the mess and rescue Fogle. Look, Mark Fogle's rescue by Trump in January 2025 proves one thing. True leadership doesn't play favorites with race, gender, or politics. It fights for every American, period. Why do you think Trump has so much black and Latino support? Because we see that. So while Biden traded a killer like Victor Bouts for Brittany Griner's spotlight moment, he left Fogle behind for Democrat disdain because of Democrat disdain of white men. Bouts' return to arms dealing shows the world is paying a price for identity politics. Let this be a lesson, people. When leaders prioritize identity and equality, or I'm sorry, identity and equity over American values, we get chaos. Trump's action reminds us what real justice looks like. No excuses needed. A hard look at a WNBA star who came back a changed woman. She now stands for the anthem. She now understands what we have. There's a woman who went to Dubai flaunting her stupidity, and now she's shocked that she's arrested and thrown in jail. And being, you know, it's y'all think that America is the whole world. You go pull that nasty crap of disrespect in other countries, they're going to throw your ass in jail. Period. End of story. You have to respect other countries' rules. And when that crap happens to you, you need to understand the freedoms you have, despite lying and saying we are oppressive. Trump is actually the exact opposite. He allows his free speech, or he doesn't allow us. He honors the Constitution by allowing free speech. Democrats, they want to take that away. They want to take our guns away, which is what keeps tyranny at bay. We all know one reason Japan, the main reason Japan chose to not consider invading America was simple. They got more guns than we'll ever have. So make sure that this Griner lesson is never forgotten and you hold your politicians to account, because you may agree with that today, what Biden did, but what happens when it's on the other side? And America stands for equality, not favorites, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander eventually. And Democrats always learn that the hard way. All right. Points on the board, the final sprint. This is where I take a handful of topics from around the country and quickly digest them and spit it out to you with Dale's hot take. So, I found an interesting story. We talk about sports and politics, but cricket 101 first for Americans. Cricket's like baseball. It's quirky cousin, in fact. Two teams, bats and balls, but there's a twist. Players score by hitting the ball and running between two sets of wooden stumps on a massive oval field. It's often in marathon matches. It is fueled by tee breaks and strategy, as seen in India's 6-wicket thriller over Pakistan and Dubai. In fact, that was just, I want to say today. No, yesterday. So why is this political? Well, the India-Pakistan cricket rivalry, it's not just a sport. It's a proxy war laced with decades of tension, from border disputes to nuclear standoff. And how do I know that? Look, I'm a big India fan in terms of the movies. It's like, I remember the 70s, 80s, everything we did in the movies was against Russia. In India, it's against Pakistan. That's who their hated enemy is. So India refused to play in Pakistan for the 2025 championship trophy. And that forced a hybrid hosting deal. And Pakistan's governor even tossed a $36,000 prize for beating India. So it became another nationalist flex. The problem is, theirs are more dangerous than the Canada-USA, where it's just on the ice. With these cricket matches, it's about security and protecting the players from the mob. So all this stands from a 1947 partition that birthed two nations amid bloodshed, obviously. It's fueled by the Kashmir clashes and Cold War games. It has turned every cricket match into a high-stakes grudge test. My take? Well, our most notorious city when it comes to sports is Philly. They snowballed Santa with ice snowballs, and they cheered when Michael Irvin messed up his neck on a very serious injury, and they booed the ever-lovable Taylor Swift. I don't love her. I think she's a beep. So if you think sports, U.S. sports politics, like anthem protests or culture war spats, are wild, India-Pakistan cricket says, hold my chai, as in chai tea. We're not there yet. But with Philly fans ready to boo Santa Claus and torch the city over Super Bowl, give it time. We're on the escalator up that level of chaos. And for the record, India won. Oh, man. All right, let's go to our second topic. Unrivaled sees surprise ratings bump. But is it too little, too late? All right, so current ratings. Look, Unrivaled's one-by-one tournament averaged 377,000 viewers on TNT and True TV. Peaked at about 398,000. That's up 21% from its highest peak of 312. I didn't see that coming. This was the 377,000 viewer finale. It set a league high. The average ratings of the one-by-one season is 179,000 across all of TNT Sports, 238,000 without True TV. It's only at 189,000. So look, so in essence, the league average is 190,000 is what they average. So this was a massive jump. 377,000. And it was because the playoffs had started. It's one of the higher end games. But here's the problem. They got a bump. The question is why. But does it really matter? I mean, there are a lot of factors. The bump is the equivalent of what people said they'd average on a weekly basis when they sold this setup to TNT and True TV. They said, we're going to average about 300 some odd thousand every week, and it's going to grow from there. So it's still a loser's ratings overall. I still believe we may have seen the end of Unrivaled, unless Caitlin Clark decides to play next year. I mean, Angel Reese can't hit the side of a barn, and sadly, much of the league is filled with angry lesbians who create so much hate and turmoil, they destroy any hope of building it up. And again, I'm not exaggerating. I'm just one of the few who will bring you an ugly truth. And the product just is not very good. NBA is slowly dying. They're going to survive. They're going to thrive again once they get their act together. It may take some years. There'll be a few post-LeBron years. But they'll eventually come back up, but there'll never be anything like football. But my point is, WNBA, man, it's just an ugly sport to watch. I tried giving Caitlin Clark what the hoopla was about. I spent maybe 5 minutes watching the WNBA All-Star. She wasn't a factor. It's just ugly. It's better to watch Caitlin Clark on highlights than to watch her play. But my take, again, kudos. I have been proven wrong. I thought your ratings would continue to tank. You got a bump here. I think it's too little, too late. Unrivaled is dead. All right. Oh, look. Another millionaire meltdown. Devondre Campbell update. Look, we all remember the Quitter's Manifesto. Devondre Campbell, the San Francisco 49ers linebacker, he decided mid-game that he'd had enough of, you know, doing his job. After refusing to enter the field during a blowout loss to the Rams, he capped off his tantrum by leaving the stadium entirely. His excuse, I'm rich and never have to work again. Yeah, that's a cool story, bro. I guess that $5 million contract this season wasn't enough to buy a shred of dignity and professionalism. So, to reiterate what happened when he walked off the field this past season, the 49ers suspended him for 3 games, costing him a chunk of money, and they let him go. They weren't about to trade him or release him outright so he could play with somebody else. You know, so he went to social media to air his grievance, claiming, I'm more than a backup. I'm not a backup. You are what you are, and that was a backup. Meanwhile, his teammates are still reeling from a 6-8 season. I mean, they had Super Bowl expectations. And they saw a supposedly veteran leader ditched him like a bad Tinder date. It was a personal decision to let him go. But in essence, they said he's done here. And the update is his statement that, I don't care. I'm rich enough. I don't have to play. My take is Campbell's an idiot. He's been given God. He has God-given talent and has squandered it away. This stunt torched any self-respect he might have had left. Quitting on teammates mid-game isn't a flex. It's a neon sign screaming, you got no guts. He'll never learn what it means to be a teammate. He's too busy polishing his ego by going to social media and bragging how rich he is and he doesn't need to work another day of his life. He'll never see a Super Bowl ring, which is what they strive for. All he's done now is show the world he's an arrogant piece of bleep, redefining selfish like it's an Olympic sport. Then again, he's always been a loser. He was part of that Falcons defense that couldn't protect a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, choking away and making history with the greatest choke in all of Super Bowl history. He's a role model, all right. He's one model you show kids. Don't be like this loser. Good riddance. The NFL's better off without a guy you can't trust to have your back because that's the lowest form of life in a locker room or anywhere else. Speaking of lowest form of life forms, Chris Cluey's arrest at Huntington Beach Council meeting over MAGA protests proves he's a clown. Chris Cluey, a former Minnesota Vikings punter, he is also a Huntington Beach resident. He was arrested on February 18th during the city council meeting while protesting a library plaque with the acronym MAGA. MAGA movement. Magical, alluring, galvanizing, adventurous. MAGA. Magical, alluring, galvanizing, adventurous. Because the acronyms were MAGA, he called it corrupt, anti-democratic, and a Nazi movement. So all the blacks and all we Latinos, we're all Nazis. We hate Jews and white, or hate Jews and Latinos and blacks. So we're self-loathers. This guy's a freaking idiot. He cited issues like erasing transgender rights. No, if you want to be a transgender, that's fine. What we're going to erase is you shoving that down, castrating young boys before they've hit puberty, lopping breasts off before they've hit puberty, giving them puberty blockers that can't be reversed. Yeah, we're going to end that. Because a child does not have the capability. Daddy, I want to be a pirate. Arr, let me jab that eye out and cut that leg off, brother. And you'll be a real pirate. And he wants violence. He says peaceful civil disobedience, but he's referring to the peaceful protests of 2020. He was arrested for disrupting an assembly and held for 4 hours and released. He's a bum. Clue, he's a UCLA graduate in history and political science. Ooh, those are two great degrees there. He compared Trump's actions to Hitler from the 1930s. He argued the MAGA movement undermines democracy. Actually, we are pro-democracy. You guys are the one. You, Clue, supported the censorship of Facebook, the censorship of social media. You supported naming parents who cared about their children as domestic terrorists. You supported the no democratic process of naming Kamala Harris your presidential candidate. No, Chloe, you're a freaking idiot, moron, worthless excuse for a human being. His activism is one of stupidity, overreacting to a plaque like a drama queen. He got himself arrested over a plaque that is called Magical, Alluring, Galvanizing, Adventurous. Big deal if it spells MAGA. Instead of seeing it as a harmless acronym, he turned into a soapbox to rant about Nazis, transgender rights, and racism. Look in the mirror, because that's what you represent. All the negativities about those. Then he staged a stunt by storming the dock. I wish I'd been there. I would have picked up a stick and just slammed him with it. He's just too stupid to critically think. He's a bleeping idiot for disrupting the council meeting over something that trivial. I mean, at least do it for something worthy. The truth of the matter is his side has made libraries political battlegrounds. They teach kids and show kids, hey, little boy, this is how you give, I don't want to use a negative term. Here's how you give fellatio to another man. Hey, Mr. Six-Year-Old, here's how you're able to pleasure yourself. That's what he supports. His arrest was nothing but a self-inflicted tantrum. It wasn't a noble stand. This guy's got a history of crying loud for attention, and this just proves he's a moron who's unhinged. Comparing Trump to Hitler because of a plaque is peak lunacy. Clue's UCLA degree clearly didn't teach in proportion. He's a moron for thinking a four-letter word on the library side threatens democracy while ignoring the actual issues, like your party, the people you support, suppressing free speech. He also calls for Democrats to break laws through civil disobedience. You know what? I'm not going to say it. But he's nothing but an entitled fool. If a conservative did that, they'd be screaming, fascism, fascism. He's just a washed-up punter chasing relevance, and his arrest shows he's more interested in playing martyr than making any sense. Well, well, look who's playing pretend. Mahomes Sr. versus John Rocker in update. Patrick Mahomes Sr., he's an ex-MLB pitcher. He admitted a viral Bourbon Street scuffle with John Rocker during Super Bowl week was staged to promote a Barstool Sports rough and rowdy boxing match for this April. I saw that. I commented on it. We talked about it in previous points on the board. How do we know he revealed this in court last week? Because he was facing probation revocation for missing a February 11th urine test, and that was tied to his third DWI. Mahomes Sr. showed a January 17th contract guaranteeing him $85,000 with the potential for more from pay-per-view sales. But his probation officer saw the video, flagged him, and forced a confession. For those of you not aware, obviously Patrick Mahomes Sr. is Patrick Mahomes' father. He has three DUIs, 2018, 2019, and 2024, plus a recent 10-day stint in jail. So he's under strict probation supervision. I kind of feel bad for him. He's got approval to he got approval to travel to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. And that forced that caused him to skip a urine test, and it nearly cost him. A negative test on February 12th and his stage fight admission swayed the judge to hold off on revoking his freedom in essence. Rocker, being the idiot he can be, says that Mahomes' team wants him out of the fight, but Mahomes Sr. remains committed. It's like, dude, just shut up. Poor guy's dealing with a lot. He's trying to get clean. It's tough, you know? You know, and I mean, my issue to the judge and probation officer, once he showed you the contract, you should let him make a few bucks. He's trying to turn his life around. You know, I mean, well, let's be honest, there's two has-beens trying to cash in big. But the judge shut it down by making it public, spilling the details in court instead of handling it privately. I do feel for Mahomes Sr. struggling, and if he's serious about staying clean, he deserves support, not scorn. Still, I'm not spending a cent on this embarrassment of a boxing match, and that's just how I feel about it. And that's a wrap on episode 109 of Points on the Board, mi amigos. From hockey's icy sovereignty, which was a slugfest, to Fogo's freedom, exposing political rot to save a WNBA star and let a man rot simply because of skin color and political ideology. And then, obviously, a final sprint of cricket chaos. WNBA stumbles, NFL quitters, and the stage fight flop. Sports ain't just scores, my friend. It's a world in a blender. Do not forget, you can catch this and all our episodes of Points on the Board at grumblingsmedia.com. YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora under the Grumblings Media profile. Do not forget to like and share this episode and hit subscribe while you're at it, my friends. Tell your crew as well, and we'll see you next time. I am William Del Pilar for Points on the Board, and until next week, Del Pilar out.